Marty, Happy New Year. How are you?
Good morning and Happy New Year to both of you. I'm doing great this morning.
Excellent. And we appreciate your time as always here in 2016 as we roll it on down the road. We know yesterday we spoke to Keith Klein. He was here in the studio and the school board was reorganizing. When is do you guys do the same thing? What is your plan for all of that on county government?
County council will be reorganizing our first meeting, which is next Tuesday. And at that time, I'm expecting to see perhaps a lot of the same people stay in the same spots, but I really don't know. It will be up to the caucus to tell us what their direction is, and we'll see what the outcome is. That is very important because that's the time when they'll be making appointments to who's going to be sitting on the plan commission that affects our land use areas. They'll be making the appointment for the Solid Waste District and many of the other appointments that really affect our daily lives. So I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with that. In addition to which, I've been working the past couple of days trying to get numbers from the auditor's office and others to see exactly where we are on our budget, because you might have seen in the paper where there was a comments made that we were balanced, that we had a balanced budget. And I don't want anyone to believe that's the exact case, because we know that we had to make a lot of adjustments to get anywhere near what would look like a balanced budget, and we're still not through.
And I didn't hear anything, and maybe, Marty, you know this or not, but has Kathy Smith fixed all of the problems she was having with the books?
Well, let me address that in just a minute.
Okay.
One of the things that I wanted to make clear is that to be a balanced budget, it's supposed to be your projected revenue and your projected expenditures will be approximately the same. And we know we still have to do almost $500,000 in an additional appropriation to cover the election expenses for the savings account for the election expenses. And the only way we were able to get even as close as we did was that we took money out of the savings to pay for this year. I keep saying next year. We are into next year, the 2016 election expenses. So we know starting out that we're going to be at least $500,000 short of being balanced. And in addition to which, that doesn't even count all of the additional changes that were made after the budget hearings on those salary ordinances and positions. The reason why that is so important to make that clear is that if we have department heads who believe we have all this money that we don't quite know what all we're going to do with it, they're going to say, look, we have this need and that need and so forth. So I want to make it clear where we stand dollar-wise. And then getting back to the treasurer's issue, regardless of whether or not they're saying they are balancing the cash to the bank, the thing that concerns me is that when I was asking questions, show me the proof of what's going on with this $1.6 million expenditures for Honeywell, I said, I want to see the exact expenditures, and they sent me copies of the checks that had been written, and those checks, way back several months, were saying outstanding. Well, how do you balance your cash to the bank if you haven't taken care of your outstanding checks? So those are all things that have to be worked out. We seem to have departments who believe, and now I'm talking about the auditor's office, who seem to believe that if they want to establish a new fund, they'll just do it without telling anybody, and they'll...
Is that legal to do that? Can they just...
Well, of course not.
Marty, you say it so nonchalantly, like we should just accept it and move on.
Well, I have not been accepting it. I have been very ferociously saying to them, what on earth are you talking about? You cannot just go establish this fund and establish a line item and say that you have $1,600,000 appropriation. The auditor's office is not allowed to do that. That all has to happen in a public meeting. The county council has to vote on establishing a fund. The county council has to vote on establishing line items and the authority to spend out of that fund. And that did not happen.
So, Marty,
and they were spending down $1,600,000 out of a fund that nobody even told the council about.
Marty, so if that is going on, how do we bring them accountable? Because the reality is, it was illegal what they did, but they're all from the same party, and you're the only person who seems to be letting the public know about this. We can't get our local newspaper to report on it. The only place people can hear about these things going on is at WGCL. And so my question to you is, what can people in the public do to hold them accountable when they are just blatantly not following law?
Well, and I believe that it is a lack of opening up that auditor's manual and understanding what they're allowed to do. And let me make it clear, if the auditor says this is what we're going to do, and it just happens, but somebody, and I expect it ought to be several somebodies in that office, should be studying that auditor's manual, because it's very clear what
probably the auditor?
Absolutely, the auditor needs
okay,
to understand
I wonder.
It. There are some funds that that the auditor can move forward with, and that is like clearinghouse funds. It's like if everything is, but once it goes through that clearinghouse, it has to come back and be charged back to the right fund. Well, they were taking it out of the clearinghouse, taking it out of that big pot of money where all payroll gets paid out of, and then gets charged back to the different departments and so forth. They were charging all this $1,600,000 off into this big clearinghouse dollar amount where claims get paid, and then they were charging it back to this fund that they established themselves and put in the appropriation themselves. We're not allowed to spend money without authority to spend. And $1,600,000, oh my, it's just, I was
so
just.
So what happens next?
Curious. Okay,
we
well,
can
the
talk
only
about,
way
we can talk
really,
about all the money being moved around, is someone going to jail, someone getting arrested, the State Board of Accounts coming down.
No,
it just happens, and then we just go on with things.
Well, I know, but you and I get frustrated about it. I think there are others that are as well, but of course it's election year, and you know, people are going to try to hold hands, I guess, on many things. And that, I don't know. I don't know. All I do know is that in order to fix this, I've contacted the State Board of Accounts. I've said, here's the situation. It isn't like that the $1,600,000 is missing. It's just that people need to understand they can't be going and spending this kind of money without authority. I mean, we're not talking $20. We're talking $1,600,000. So I expect at our next meeting there'll be some kind of resolution that will say, we didn't authorize this, but we really knew we were going to be spending this $1,600,000, and somebody just did this, but, oh, it is a direction we would have gone had they come to ask us. I don't know exactly what the resolution will say, but it'll have to be something that will move the money back where it's supposed to be. So all of that movement of money will have to happen legitimately.
Okay. And you'll keep an eye on that for us. Marty Hawk is our guest this morning. She's a county councilwoman, checks in with us every Wednesday morning, keeps an eye on your tax dollars and all the wonderful places they could go. Now, we saw some articles in the paper on Monday that caught our attention. One of them was the new plan for Lake Monroe. And obviously, that plan is up for discussion, public comment being taken through next week on that. So if you go to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers page, you can probably figure out how to do all of that. What's the county's role in how Lake Monroe is managed? And the one statement in that plan that jumped off the page at us on Monday was Indianapolis can go ahead and jump in whenever they need to. Talk about that and clear up any misconceptions that I might have on that.
Right. That somehow was put in the plan erroneously that Indianapolis could just control it. It really is the state of Indiana because they had some skin in the game when this first started. Remember that Lake Monroe was actually established for stormwater management for all of the problems that several of the counties were having downstream of this low area that they ended up making Lake Monroe. So it's all a part of their water management plan, and so it does not, even though it's named Lake Monroe, it does not belong to Monroe County. We like to think it's ours. We love it, and we feel very territorial about it, but it really is not just does not belong to Monroe County. So what they're looking at for the first time in 50 years, I can't imagine why it took them 50 years to look at it again. The Army Corps of Engineers originally looked at it in 67. It appears that they've not really come up with any other kind of a plan since then. And they're the ones who manages and provides conservation efforts there. And one of the things that they're really looking at is not so much the quality of water, which I was really sort of surprised to find out, but more that they're going to be looking at the resources that they have there, as well as the land use patterns around the lake. Not, it won't be just Monroe's land use plant patterns. It'll be all the other areas that surround the lake. And then they'll look at any of the laws that affect that right now. And then they'll look at what is their goal or objective for the future. And they do recognize that it's used for our water, not just for Bloomington's water, it's also water. I mean, all of our water is coming from Lake Monroe, so of course we have a vested interest in this. And I'm glad that they extended the time to comment because we have a lot of people who will want to make an informed comments to these folks. So it would be the city utilities. I would think Ellisville would want to make comments as well as the county to say this is what our concerns are. And individuals, we're hoping, will also weigh in on this. I know that there are some who say, well, we're just not going to let Indianapolis have our water. Well, it's not really going to be up to us. It's really not going to be up to Indianapolis. It will be up to the Corps of Engineers and the state of Indiana. And so we'll see how that works out. We can certainly make our thoughts clear that we would like to make sure we're conserving that water for our local use. But that really will not be our decision. So we'll just put those thoughts out to say this is how the direction we would like for it to go. And then we'll have to see in which direction they actually go. And remember that, they had the wrong address to comment to in the paper. So you'll want to look at it again. You can see it at Lake Monroe, at monroelakemp.comments@woolpert.com. That's WOOLPERT.
And I'm posting that on our Facebook page.
Thank you.
Right now, so you can see that. The Army Corps of Engineers address will be on there, so if you don't do that, and we'll give you the time. The deadline is January 14th. That's when everything needs to be in there. And find us at WGCL Radio at Facebook and at WGCL Radio on Twitter, and it's all right there for you to write down, take a picture of, or do whatever you need to do.
Right, and this is so important, you know, because you cannot live in an area that doesn't have water.
No.
I mean, this is so essential to our well-being. You have to have water. The revised draft is supposed to be released on the 22nd, but the final one's not going to be until June, so it's my hope that when they have another open house that we'll see that things are moving along that makes us feel a bit better. And then I also wanted to let you know that getting back to Monroe County business, that we were not allowed that excess levy. That was like $250,000, and I think
why
that's
not
good news for the taxpayers? Well, because they said that we had too much money in our cash in the operating.
Why do we need it?
They're saying, you know, if you don't need it, you can't have it.
Why did they apply for it? I'm sorry, they didn't make that very clear.
They applied for it because there was an error made, like 2 years, more than 1 year of errors in.
If I had to keep track of every error that was made in the last 2 or 3 years, Marty, we could do it.
Oh, come on. It would be a very boring book.
Well, that would be,
a very big one.
Well, that seems to be the answer to every question. So why are we doing this now? Well, we screwed it up 2 years ago. That's just the stock answer we have. Any question I ask you on why it happens, well, because we screwed it up 2 years ago. That's just what it
is. And that, you know, when you have a mistake in your assessed value, where is that mistake coming from? It's coming from the auditor's office.
All right.
That's just where it's happening. So, and there are those who think that we need to completely reorganize that office and pay people more money. I'm not sure that paying somebody
I don't think paying
more money
people
who's not,
that's not the problem, Marty. You have to have quality people with training. You know, I'm sorry, but right now what we have are Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Donald Duck and Goofy in there. And
I continue to hear you say you're sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. I am just saying this is I don't have to be apologetic to be real strong about saying if people
I'm
don't
apathetic.
Like to get trained, then I don't see the point in giving them a raise.
I agree with you.
You give someone a raise who've proven they are worthy of that raise, not just that they're there working, but it has to be working
so
in such a way that
you
don't have all these
who's
mistakes.
Saying that would these people need raises?
Well,
that's how people get
we'll
better.
Work
you just
through
pay
that
them
as
harder.
We go. But what I wanted to make sure we were going to talk about solid waste is
yes, we are. We have 2 minutes to do that.
Okay. First of all, I just want to say it is working pretty smoothly with the person that they have that already works for the Solid Waste District. It is my hope that district board, once they get all their new members put together there and we have a new district board, that they will consider just keeping him on as being the director. He's doing an excellent job. And
is that Scott,
he's doing that job and the job he was doing, and that would be an enormous savings because you wouldn't have that extra person.
If you're going to ask somebody to do two people's job, you need to either pay them more
yes, you do.
Or something.
Hey, well, could I just say that it might very well be that perhaps the director's job was not as time-consuming as one might have thought. So, of course, you would want to pay this person to be the executive director as had been established, but if it
maybe
is
that
possible
position needs to be
for him to do that as and do the job that he was doing and save one whole piece, that is how you start reducing county government.
I don't disagree with that, Marty, but the other problem is you can't plug and place people into old salaries because that's what the previous person was getting paid.
No, you've got to retool the whole department. No, there's already an agreement. No. There's already been a study of what the new director should be paid. I am certainly not saying this gentleman should not be paid to be the new director's salary.
Right. Well, the other thing is, as well, is do you want a guy that's being spread 30 hours a day and getting half each job done? I don't know. That's not a decision for me to make. That's a decision for the board to
make. Guess you'd have to understand how it actually works.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
To decide whether or not the person, whether the...
because the last guy told you how difficult it was for 5 years and you paid him. What'd you pay him a year? You paid him every dollar of it, and he told you how hard the job was. So that's what happened.
Go down there and sit in that office and see exactly how it works.
I don't doubt you at all, but all I know is the last guy that did it from 2009 forward, you just told me how hard the job isn't, and he took how much a year? How much was that?
Oh, it was
$60,000?
Yeah, I thought it was
$60,000. Okay, so you've already got fooled for 6 years, or 7 years, or whatever that's been. So let's make sure we get it right this time. How about that?
Yep. I mean, you know, if you want to pay a figurehead, fine. But if you don't want to pay a figurehead, and if you really want to pay somebody who knows how to do the job and is doing it,
I don't
and has been doing it.
The position needs to be evaluated, and you're right, it should be.
The only thing we're saying here is that you may be very well right that the gentleman who's taken over has figured out how to do the job, and he can do it without the need of what his previous position is.
Well, it's pretty condemning where he has another job and can figure out this job on top of his other job. That's the kind of
point I'm trying to make. It would depend. I would say that if you really believe that district director was actually doing all that work, or if you believe that...
all that work we had to pay him for when he left, because couldn't
there
get...
There was like an extra $10,000
All the comp time. So now you got a guy who can do two jobs, and that being one of them. Interesting.
Well, you know, obviously, you're not prepared to hear this statement, but I think if you went down there to look to see how it's working now, how smooth it's working
That's good.
And how this person who is...
Marty,
the interim
I think you're misunderstanding
absolutely
us.
He knows more than anybody they could hire. He knows
good.
More about how to run
and
that
you know
place.
What? That's all you need there. And we saw the figures and the math in the paper on Monday, and they have some interesting decisions to make whether
and
they are going to turn a profit.
Is our building still sitting on the ground in a pool of rust?
Right. So it's just wasted money to have bought that.
Are they just letting it sit there is my question. I mean,
what are you going to do with
There's no money in the budget.
Put it in a building and keep it at least stored so that when it's ready to be, if they're going to build it for any reason, that at least it's not sitting there and just being, you know, something that's going to be thrown away. Maybe the county can use it some other way.
Well, that might be the case. We'll find out when we see who the new director, the new board's going to be. But certainly,
really?
At the end of the day, let's not move forward with building a building just
because
we've already
got. I'm not suggesting we should build a building, but I don't think we should let it rot on the ground.
Well, and that I'm not saying I disagree with that, but I am hoping that reasonable minds will... prevail and that we'll look at the financials and not move forward with this unless it is very clear it's going to work.
Marty, I don't think they should do it at all. But
have you ever heard me saying that I thought we should do it? It does not mean that we're going to be doing any more recycling. It means we're going to go out to the sites we already have, gather up that, and pay for our own trucks. Big trucks to move things back and forth or lease them and move them over to another site to bail them to sell off
Marty,
as a recycle. And those materials, that price jumps around so much there's no way
Marty,
to know what your revenue is.
Marty, you are misunderstanding my comment. The only comment I have made is that we have bought a building. It is not put together. And I don't think that it is right that the taxpayers should lose money on them just letting it deteriorate on the ground. The only thing I'm suggesting is that be put away in storage until at some point maybe we need a building and we've got it. That's my only point. I have no desire for them to do a MRF. I think the MRF is a stupid idea.
Well, and I am certain that the new board, once they look at all of these, all of this information, then something further will be done about it. Or if they give Scott Morgan the go ahead to get that put away and under cover, then that will happen as well. I have so much confidence in him that I'm hoping others will too and know what a big difference he can make out there. He's not saying, let's go ahead and do this. He's saying, it will only happen while whatever the board says. And
there you
he
go.
Knows he has to do what the board tells him to do.
And we'll see what the board puts together when they finally get assembled in their plan moving forward. We'll hear what happens next. When is your next meeting? Is it next Tuesday? So next Wednesday morning, we'll hear about your reorganization and see who fills all these positions.
Right, and we'll see how many. Everybody's running for office. I'm telling you, everybody.
Well, there
you go. Every place you look. Everyone's it. So it's going to be a very, very political year. And by the way, before we hang up, congratulations to our new state rep, Jeff Ellington. I am so very proud that we have a Monroe County resident going out there representing Monroe County.
Jeff selected by the caucus.
And, of course, there's other counties he's representing, Greene County and so forth.
Jeff being selected by the caucus on December 21st to take over for Matt Ubelor. Or Ubelor, I can never get that name right. Well, I don't have to worry about it now because it's Jeff Ellington, and I know I can say that. Marty, we'll talk to you next Wednesday morning. Thank you for your time. Happy New Year.
You too.